Yamaha, but lower hate. This is
BLPod.com, The Week in Georgia. In English, coming to you from sunny San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 8th of January, 2015. On this date, in 1697, Thomas Aikenhead, a university student in Edinburgh, is executed for blasphemy. The last time this happens in the UK. 1806, Cape Colony in South Africa becomes British. 1811, the largest slave revolt in U.S. history takes place in St. Charles and St. James Parish near New Orleans, Louisiana, known as the German Coast Uprising. 1815, Andrew Jackson leads American forces in a glorious victory over the British, who, actually 2 weeks after the War of 1812 is over, but they hadn't really found out about that because their fax was out of paper. 1835, the United States national debt is zero for the only time ever. Didn't actually turn out to be that good of a thing. 1877, Crazy Horse fights his last battle. 1867, sorry, 10 years before that, Congress overrides a presidential veto and gives African-American men the right to vote for the first time within the District of Columbia. 1912, the African National Congress is founded. 1916, the Allies retreat from Gallipoli in Turkey. 1918, Wilson announces his 14 points. It's mostly ignored, and World War II starts 20 years later. 1946, Elvis Presley and his mom go to the Tupelo hardware store for his 11th birthday. And rather than getting what he wants, a rifle or a bicycle, he's given a guitar. 1964, President Lyndon Johnson declares war on poverty in the United States. 1982, AT&T agrees to divest itself of 22 subdivisions. 2011, Member of Congress Gabby Giffords is injured and six people killed in a shooting rampage in Arizona that leads to handgun control in the United States. Just kidding. Birthdays today are Wilkie Collins, Jose Ferrer, Shirley Bassey, Elvis Presley, Stephen Hawking, David Bowie, and Kim Jong-un. Today is the feast day of Abo of Tiflis, an 8th century perfumer originally from Baghdad. He ended up in Tbilisi. Very interesting guy, worthy of a read. That's Abo, A-B-O, Alpha Bravo, October of Tiflis. I don't know why they say of Tiflis and not Tbilisi, but that's what they say. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra column this week is a guide to reading the new Russian propaganda. What's different from the old Russian propaganda? The aspects of Schadenfreude that infuse it and what they're doing differently with Sputnik and RT and all of that. If you'd like to comment on the forum, ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. On the 6th of January, the Prime Minister's office announced that it will set up an interagency council on foreign policy to coordinate the implementation of Georgia's foreign policy priorities. The council will be chaired by Prime Minister Khadabashvili and will include Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, Foreign Minister Tamar Berushashvili, Justice Minister Teo Tsiloukiani, Defense Minister Mindia Janelidze, Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, and loads of other lawmakers. In my view, this is an indication that Berushashvili was an emergency appointment, of course, was the most Western-friendly person that they could find in a pinch when Alassani was downsized, but does not really have the confidence of anybody, including Khadabashvili, and he is in essence taking over the ministry by this act. The Orthodox Church celebrated Christmas on the 7th of January. It was a public holiday in Georgia. Liturgy began in the Holy Trinity Church, Samippa, on the night of the 6th of January at 11 p.m., led by Elia II in his Christmas epistle. He talked about marriage, the responsibility of men and women in the family and society, suggested that violence against women happens when a man fails to fulfill his obligations to the family, and this causes tensions and violence. He also suggested that jobs and improvements in social economic sphere might seriously diminish people's aggression in the family and in public. I'm not sure if this is the case. I don't know whether I'd agree with the tone of it, but then again, I'm not the patriarch. Prime Minister Khadabashvili will visit Latvia 8th and 9th of January, which holds the EU rotating presidency in the first half of 2015. Estonian Prime Minister Taavi Rõivas will be in Tbilisi for an official visit on the 12th and 13th of January. And the fairly new European Commissioner for Neighborhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations, Johannes Hahn, will visit Georgia for the first time in this position from the 15th to the 17th of January. Defense Minister Mendia Jannalidze spent New Year's Eve visiting Georgian troops of the 51st Light Infantry Battalion deployed at the Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. They took over the force protection task there in early November 2014. Georgia also has a company-sized unit in Mazar-e-Sharif in northern Afghanistan at the German Army's Camp Marmal. Following up on the court investigation into the 2005 death of Prime Minister Zhivanya on the 6th of January, three new witnesses were questioned at the court hearing in Tbilisi City Court. Investigator Kaha Chumbadze, he headed the group of officers who started the investigation in 2005. Chumbadze was asked if he noticed a black leather bag with a wig inside the apartment where Zhivanya's body was found. Chumbadze said he noticed the bag, but it was immediately sealed up, so he never saw what was inside. They did not give any further details about the bag. The next hearing will be on the 9th of January. Meanwhile, Prosecutor Revaz Nadoy talked about several more violations regarding the examination and autopsy performed by the pathologist Levan Chachua. He said Zhivanya's body should not have been embalmed since there was reason to doubt he died of asphyxiation. As a reminder, there are three separate ongoing investigations about Zhivanya and Raul Usupov's death. One's to determine the exact cause of the men's deaths. The second is an investigation into why Chachua's autopsy results were incomplete. And the third concerns why Zhivanya's security guards showed negligence on the job. Much discussed on Facebook in Georgian, according to an interview with former Soviet KGB General Oleg Kalugin, who lives in the U.S., 90% of Soviet intelligentsia worked for the KGB. Certainly this was the view of Misha and crew. There was an avalanche near Bakhmato in Guria on the 2nd of January. One person is dead, three more missing, though they are believed to be alive. Rescue workers are still searching for them. The group of four youths were visiting Bakhmato Winter Resort when they got lost on a mountain 2,300 meters above sea level. Three of them contacted the Khulo municipality for help and said they managed to find shelter. There was also danger of an avalanche in the Dadiali Valley near the Larsi border crossing with Russia. Traffic on the road was temporarily stopped because of the snow and wind. Then there was heavy snowfall in the south of the country at the Armenian border and the Ninotsminda region. In the Ninotsminda region, about 600 people were stuck on the road in their cars due to the storm and needed rescue help. On the 5th of January, the body of a Georgian citizen who went missing near the town of Akhalgori in South Ossetia 6 months ago was found hanging from a tree. Local officials assume that the 19-year-old David Bashuruli died a while ago, but that his body was only brought to the place where it was found a few days ago. In June 2014, Bashuruli was summoned to Akhalgori police station for an alleged minor crime. It was the last time he was seen. According to the Interior Ministry, Bashuruli's body is now in the morgue in Skhin Valley, and with the help of EUMM, they are negotiating on transporting the body back. They were actively working finding Bashuruli since last summer. Head of the National Bank of Georgia, Georgi Karagidze, was named Central Banker of the Year 2014 for Europe by Banker Magazine, which is owned by the Financial Times. The magazine commented that in recent years, Georgia has shown to have, quote, a well-capitalized and stable banking sector, which has shown resilience against major shocks, end quote. 34-year-old Katagidze was appointed head of the National Bank February 2009. The banker also commented that Katagidze led a de-dollarization process, which improved the availability of domestic currency resources and promoted lending in lari. According to Pata Shavishvili, the head of the Census and Demography Division of Geostat, since 2002, Georgia's population is on a downward trend. This info is based on the data from the 2014 census compiled in November 2014. The last census was in 2002. Final results of the 2014 census will be revealed in a year and a half, but preliminary results will be published in April 2015. They also suspect information will show that Georgia has an aging population. Reportedly, Dahabi Group plans to open a 7-star presidential hotel in Tbilisi behind the Imeli building. 7-star? I mean, come on. According to the Dahabi Group's executive director, the hotel will be a millennium Biltmore. There's only one in LA, and it's planned for January 2016. Opening They plan to invest $140 million into the construction. It will have a trade center and a restaurant on the 34th floor and a casino. Interesting to see if that happens and who's really paying for it. The Ameli building has been sitting there doing nothing forever. What I would ask the hobby group to do would be to get together with the mayor of Tbilisi and fix the sidewalk, these wood planks that they have that has broken lots of ankles over the last several years as it's just sat there. Two Georgian chess players were named among the world's top 10 female chess players according to an updated ranking by the World Chess Federation. Nana Dzagani at 27 and Bella Khotenashvili, 27, ranked 4th and 10th respectively. Dzaganidze achieved the title of International Grandmaster in 2008. She was the best individual female player during the 41 Chess Olympiad in Tromsø, Norway in 2014. Seven other Georgian female players were on the World Chess Federation top 100 list. In parliamentary news, to clarify last week's story, the anti-plastic bag law is in fact, a law. It was proposed by the Environment Ministry. Plastic bags will allegedly be phased out over the next year. Let's see how that gets implemented. The Interior Ministry has drafted a bill to more strictly regulate online gambling in Georgia, particularly by underage players. It'll be considered by Parliament in spring. That would be great if it happens. Interesting, Kvitis Azrebi this week, journalist Ekaterina Togonidze spoke about society and personal friendships with people with disabilities. 3rd of December is International Day for the Protection of the Rights of Disabled People. Last year, she wrote about it on her blog that protecting the rights of disabled people is a civil responsibility. But she said she didn't have any friends who are disabled and didn't understand their lives. Now she does have personal friendships with handicapped people and doesn't see them as different. Before, she knew or heard stories that blind people are able to be successful in society, but now she's seen firsthand blind people being able to do almost anything non-disabled people can do, adapting to new technologies. She says that society in general feels proud because we give to charities for the disabled, create awareness events, that we are tolerant and understanding. You can take a picture of a child in a wheelchair, but still we don't actually consider them as part of our society, that unless there are personal friendships, there always will be a wall that society sees handicapped people as separate. It's quite interesting. I agree with her, and it's worth looking at that, Kvitis Azrebi. Meme this week is a photo of Eka Beselia's outfit at a march, particularly her white bunny boots, very high heels, very, very not sure what, very Ekaterinburg. Stuff to read. In Georgian Journal, Rosneft Georgian deal, disgrace or benefit? With differing views on the Rosneft deal for Poti Port, I am of the opinion that this is not a good thing for Georgia. I think Poti has become a bit of a personal playground for bunny boot Eka Beselia, and I hope that she gets asked a lot of questions about this. Rosneft is essentially the Kremlin, and I don't think that the Kremlin owning half of Poti is a good thing for Georgia, considering other things the Kremlin is doing in Georgia and the neighborhood. Also in Georgian Journal, an interview with Irakli Gogava, who headed IRI, the International Republican Institute, a democracy promotion organization based in Washington. He headed it after Dima Shashkin left to become the Minister of Education under Misha, who had been a Vano Merabashvili protege. Goga very much overstates the influence that Georgians and Misha have in recent Ukrainian politics. The interesting thing about it is not the accuracy or insight of what Gogava says, but getting a window in how the national movement viewed themselves and their role in the world. Take a look. Article in the American Interest on the lessons that countries of the South Caucasus have drawn from the Ukraine crisis, what it means for Georgia and its separatist groups. It's interesting looking at the very different things that the governments of each country have gotten from this. It's by Sergei Markadonov from the Russian State University for Humanities. He was previously at CSIS Russia and the Eurasia Program in D.C., and Maxim Suchkov, formerly a Fulbright at Georgetown. Forbes has a list of the best wines to drink in 2015. Wine writer Alice Faring advocates for Georgian wines. A report by Liz Fuller from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty on radical Islam in the Caucasus. She says that six North Caucasus insurgency leaders from Chechnya and Dagestan have declared allegiance to Daesh, also known as ISIS or the Islamic State. The Telegraph has a list of 10 extraordinary destinations you've probably never heard of, but we've heard of. Georgia, It's noted for cajeti and winemaking. Stephen Jones writes for Open Democracy, arguing that Bendikidze's economic reforms were not what they were cracked up to be, didn't alleviate the people's poverty. He is a very knowledgeable guy. I don't 100% agree with him on this, but it's worth reading because I think that there's not really been much analysis one way or the other of the actual technical reforms that the national movement undertook, and this is one of them. So take a look. Inga Popovaite for Democracy and Freedom Watch examines the double problems facing Georgia's Javakheti Armenians this winter: no citizenship and a falling ruble. Georgian Review looks at what might happen to Georgian-Armenia trade relations after one joins the Eurasia Customs Union and the other signs the EU Association Agreement with a deep and comprehensive free trade area agreement. All these things posted on our forum. This week's GEO capital number is 5.49 million. This is the number of foreigners who visited Georgia in 2014, according to the statistics compiled by the Interior Ministry based on border crossing data. It is a 1.88 increase over 2014, according to their tally. People who enter Georgia and stay in the country for more than 24 hours are classified as tourists. In 2014, about 2.2 million people were identified as tourists, a 7.39% increase over 2013. The largest share of visitors came from neighboring countries: Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Russia. Amidani Cinema will be showing Seventh Son in 3D every day until the 12th of January at 10:30 p.m. For those in Washington, D.C., the exhibition Discovering Georgian Cinema that was at the MoMA will come to Washington, D.C. from January to March. You can see the whole schedule of events where we post it with the links at Spielpod.com. Take a look. Lots of movies, but it starts with Blue Mountain. So if you want to see that or want to take friends or tell friends about it, check the schedule quickly. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpilpod, tblpod@gmail.com. Post to the forum on our website, www.tpilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1959, Johnny Horton and the Battle of New Orleans.
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise if we didn't fire muskets till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, so we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind, and when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.